this property of the blood, which can be shed from person to person, gives new meaning to a word used in the Bible that would otherwise seem puzzling. The word overcome. In one of John's visions while he was on the island, John describes a confrontation between the forces of good and evil. Satan is overcome. And John described those victors as one who had overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. How can such a word be applied in this sense to blood? I've learned to accept blood as a symbol of life, and even learned to appreciate blood's cleaning properties. But these words, overcome by blood, seemed at first not to make sense. The word overcome speaks of strength and commanding power, such as a terrorist with a machine gun would overcome an airplane crew, or a Japanese sumo wrestler overcomes his opponent. And on the other hand, the word blood talks about weakness and failure, a bleeding and broken body, which has been overcome. So why does the apostle use this combination of words? The answer, I believe, lies in the biological pattern of how blood overcomes. Its revelation has enriched my understanding of the symbol of blood. And for me to grab a hold of the meaning, I must look at a few of the Bible uses of the word overcome. During his last evening with his disciples, Jesus said this, "In this world, you will have tribulations. Be not discouraged, for I have overcome the world." At that time, this seems like a hollow ring of victory. To those of us who have read the story, his words have a strangely hollow tone. For even as Jesus spoke those words, Judas was completing his fateful contract, and Pilate's soldiers were buckling on their swords. And when I reflect upon the Lord's timing, mere hours before his arrest and execution, it seems almost bizarre. These words that Christ spoke to his disciples may have seemed like hollow words as they cowered down in the darkness, watching his bloody body on the cross. We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel, two of them reported on the road to Emmaus. The distinction between overcoming and being overcome had been blurred. In the book of Revelation, the image of a lamb appears again and again to represent Christ. We too easily miss the irony of the weakness and the most helpless animal symbolizing the Lord of glory, the Lord of the universe. Not only that, but a lamb looking as if it had been slain. This provides the background for the strange phrase, overcome by the Lamb. Some years ago, I read an article by a missionary to India. Here's what it says. He said, "An epidemic of measles struck Vellore, which is a town in India where he was a missionary. And one of my daughters had a severe attack of measles. We knew that she would recover, but our infant daughter was dangerously vulnerable because of her age. When the pediatricians explained our need for the serum, word went around town that the missionaries needed the blood of an overcomer. We didn't actually put it in these words, they said, but we called for someone who had contracted measles and had overcome it. Serum from such a person would protect our little girl. It would be no use to find someone who had overcome chickenpox or who had recovered from a broken leg. Such people could not give the specific help that we needed to overcome measles. We needed someone who had experienced measles and had defeated the disease. We located such a person, withdrew some of his blood, let the cells settle out, and injected the serum. The serum gave her body enough time to manufacture her own antibiotics. She overcame measles, not by her own resistance or her own strength, but as a result of a battle that had taken place previously within someone else. I just have to stop right here and praise my good Lord, because you know, I'm beginning to get it. It's beginning to seep into my mind exactly what God did when he shed his blood on Calvary. There is a sense in which a person's blood becomes more valuable. As Peter put it, his precious blood. It becomes more valuable and potent as the person prevails in the many battles with outside invaders. After antibiotics have locked away the secret of defeating each disease, a second infection of the same type will usually do no harm. A protected person has been called by some doctors as having wise blood. Does this not shed some light upon the description that Christ, being made perfect through suffering, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are tempted? We do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with our infirmities because he has suffered in all of our weaknesses. The blood of Jesus Christ has overcome. He went out of his way to expose himself to temptation, to encounter the stress and the strain that you and I meet every day, to gain this wise blood for our benefit. And the more I think of the blood of Jesus Christ, I keep returning to the modern procedure of blood transfusion. Obviously, Jesus and the biblical writers did not envision a Red Cross blood supply depot when this word was used. Yet, out of my own experience, blood transfusion has emerged as a kind of image of the Christian symbol, incorporating all of its meaning. I remember when I had my own experience with blood transfusion. I was working on a job in Austin, Texas, and it so happened that I fell and broke my pelvis bone. And during surgery to correct this, I lost 8 pints of blood. And there I lay on the table, blood oozing from my body. But because of the possibility of blood transfusion, I was saved. As I lay there bleeding from my abdomen, there was a nurse that took a bottle of blood and a needle in a tube and infused in me the blood of another. My survival of that incident was not because of the skilled hands of the surgeons altogether, but it was because of the blood of another. When we come to the table for communion, we come with light breath and a weakened pulse. We live in a world far from God. During the week, we catch ourselves doubting. We muddle along with our weaknesses, our repeated failings, our unconquered sins, our aches and pains, and that condition, bruised and pale. We are invited by Christ to his table to celebrate life. We experience the gracious flow of his forgiveness and love and healing. This is a word to us that we are accepted and made alive through transfusion. The Lord's Supper sums up all three tenses: the life that was and died for us, the life that is and lives in us, and the life that will be and will come for us. Jesus is no mere example of living. He is life itself. My, my, the more I learn about Jesus, the more I learn about the power that's in the blood, the more joy fills my heart. I'll be back tomorrow with another lesson. Until then, may the grace of God be with you. May his favor shine in your path. May the meditations of my heart and the words of my lips be pleasing unto God. We love you.